Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Good day, Colorado, and thank you for joining us for the October 29th reading of The Environment. My name is John. Today, we plan to share the following main articles, both from the magazine of the Sierra Club and related, In Praise of Dark Skies, Preserving Darkness Supports the Wellness of Both Humans and Wildlife, and also, Young People Are Losing Their Cultural Heritage to Light Pollution. Constellations and the seasonal information they've offered are fading from sight and memory. If there's any remaining time, we'll grab an article from Mother Earth News or the magazine of the Nature Conservancy. So back to our first article. In Praise of Dark Skies, Preserving Darkness Supports the Wellness of Both Humans and Wildlife, written by Amy Bricount White. The article opens up with a beautiful photograph of a snow-covered farmland, a barn, a house, a small outbuilding, and just a sky full of stars and constellations. There is no caption for that photograph, but it is beautiful. On to the article. Imagine looking up on a dark night to see a star-filled sky that seems to stretch out to eternity. That experience has inspired awe across generations. From our ancient ancestors who etched the image on cave walls to modern poets imagining the Milky Way in verse. Unfortunately, far too few communities get to have that experience because of light pollution clouding the skies. Thanks to our overly lit urban towns and cities, all too often what we see when we look up is a murky scrim overhead. Enter nocturism or nocturnal tourism, a new enthusiasm for travelers seeking awe-inspiring experiences under a dark night, especially at locations that enjoy an official Dark Sky International designation. Dark Sky certifies communities, parks, and protected areas around the world that preserve and protect dark sites through responsible lighting policies and public education as part of their International Dark Sky Place network. The town of Moab, Utah is often referred to as the gateway to Arches National Park and Canyonlands National Park, both designated as International Dark Sky Parks. We value people coming to our community. That's a big part of our economy, says Alexi Lamb, Moab's sustainability director who helped steer the town to its 2024 designation as an International Dark Sky Community. Being able to give people that dark sky experience in our surrounding wild areas meant that we, as a city, needed to manage our lights as well. Keeping that dark sky means that people who love it can keep it, and people who visit here can love it too. Designated or aspiring dark sky communities like Moab, Bee Cave, Texas, Leadville, Colorado, and Groveland, Florida, assume a moral and economic responsibility to maintain their valuable darkness, which unregulated development would likely destroy with lighting trespass. With a trove of resources, including model ordinance forms and a dark sky approved listing of compliant lighting fixtures, the nonprofit Dark Sky International works with communities who are fortunate to still have natural darkness as part of their brand, says Ruskin Hartley, CEO and Executive Director. We are putting into place the steps to ensure that they are protected, and we're not just bringing our bad lighting practices from our cities into our rural areas. Achieving that designation is not easy, but it may literally put a destination on the map for coveted tourist dollars. Dark sky tourists usually need to spend the night, which adds up in lodging, food, gasoline, and other expenses. A 2023 Utah State University study revealed that nearly 62% of the state's visitors took part in night sky viewing activities. Non-local tourists who value dark skies will spend $5.8 billion over the next 10 years in the Colorado Plateau, according to a 2019 Missouri State University study. Along with Dark Sky, these communities also seek to counteract the perception that more people automatically equals light pollution, Hartley adds. He shares the examples of how millions of people visit the Grand Canyon yearly and navigate it safely with lighting that complies to make it an international dark sky park. We are not about no light. It's about using it responsibly, says Hartley. Dark Sky's principles of responsible astrotourism address how both residents and visitors can make the night sky viewing tourism work for all. Working with the Illuminating Engineering Society, IES, an organization of professionals dating to 1906 that seeks to improve the lighted environment by bringing together those with lighting knowledge and by translating that knowledge into actions that benefit the public. Dark Sky also issued 5 principles of responsible outdoor lighting that recommend all lighting to be useful, targeted, low-level, controlled, and warm-colored. Such statements and their scientific rationales are part of the toolkit that community or government members who aspire to Dark Sky designation use in their widespread educational pushes. The benefits of Dark Sky lighting includes saving energy and money, reducing light pollution, which negatively impacts human health, and minimizing wildlife disruption. These arguments often make the dark skies concept more saleable to stakeholders, including businesses, residents, and developers in these often booming areas. 14 miles west of Austin, Texas, the town of Bee Cave became an IDSC in 2023. It's a gorgeous area filled with creeks and rivers and wineries, and the people that live out here really have a love of nature, says its mayor, Kara King. People that come here for tourism, they do not want to see the bright lights of Austin or San Antonio. They are blown away by how we're retaining our closeness with nature that really defines where we live. King enjoys watching meteor showers from her own back patio. Being a dark sky community is so much a part of Bee Cave's identity that new businesses moving to the area are eager to comply. It's kind of a bragging right, says King. They want to comply because they want the community to embrace them. Widespread education is key to building community support, says Lamb. Moab's educational push included art shows, star viewings, and a lot of media outreach to try to convey that dark skies did not necessarily mean dark streets. If it's something that residents want and understand, it's going to be easier for everybody, she says. Not all recently designated dark sky communities are where you'd expect them. Located 30 miles west of Orlando and near the 560,000-acre Green Swamp, a wetland essential for Central Florida's aquifer health, the city of Groveland became an IDSC in 2023. We are the first in Florida and the Southeast U.S. to have this certification, so it's a heavy lift every day to teach our development community and really everybody in Groveland, says Andrew Landis, the town's conservationist and strategic initiatives division manager. Outdoor lighting and light pollution can kind of seem like an abstract concept, says Gabrielle Huffman, Groveland's natural resources specialist. We've had to prioritize educating the developing community and also staff. You really need buy-in from not just the community, but staff across the city as well. They are particularly focused on their public safety workers, including police and firemen. Many mistakenly believe that having more and brighter lighting translates into safer streets. Dark sky advocates dispute that claim, with studies showing how brighter lights can create glare that disrupts our night vision and inadvertently creates shadowy, potentially unsafe spots. Landis shared that their police chief now responds to inquiries saying that lighting in the right place is safer than just lighting everything up bright white. We see our dark sky designation as a big piece of the city's economic development program going forward, says Landis. Within a week of Groveland's certification, people were showing up and driving around looking for a place to stargaze. They quickly turned a little triangular leftover parcel, formerly used for overfull parking at a city park, into a place to stargaze and are working to find and formalize a designated park. Many dark sky communities host nighttime celebrations to increase awareness and also emphasize the joy in nocturism. A surprising 700 people showed up for Groveland's first star party that featured local astronomy groups with telescopes. In 2024, 2,500 people registered for the star party, and over 60% of those came from outside of Lake County, where Groveland sits. They've had to pause the star parties to search for a new, better-suited venue. Moab hosted several art events and an ice skating party with guests dressing up as constellations. In partnership with the U.S. Forest Service, Leadville also promotes 4 nearby star parties a year. Building community support, advises Lamb, means finding partnerships with local nonprofits and vocal advocates. For Moab, the partnership with the Friends of Arches and Canyonlands was essential to community engagement efforts. The nonprofit has also applied for grants using the environmental and money-saving benefits of dark sky lighting as a selling point and offered rebates to residents to help them switch out their non-complying fixtures. Finding local champions is really important, echoes Landis. Marty Proctor, now a dark sky delegate, helped to spread the word at meetings in both Groveland and Lake County municipalities. Another community champion was photographer Steve Miller, who, after researching 24 ordinances across the world along with Landis, helped to write Groveland's. Initially, Lake County, where Leadville, Colorado is located, wanted to become a designated dark sky preserve, but it wasn't big enough to meet that criteria. The town applied for a grant through the state for a dark sky mentor to guide them. The town has traditionally been an affordable home for workers in posh ski resort areas like Vail, Aspen, and Breckenridge, according to Adam Ducharme, Lake County's Tourism and Economic Development Director. About 75% of our community is open space, and it's protected open space, says Ducharme. What I always say is I'm most interested in high-values visitors, so not high-value, says Ducharme. High values, meaning someone who's interested in dark skies or astrophotography, they tend to have a respect for nature and open space and rural communities. They tend to be the kind of people who will help us keep our place beautiful for a long time. It's exactly the kind of tourism that we're interested in attracting. Our second and related article, young people are losing their cultural heritage to light pollution. Constellations and the seasonal information they've offered are fading from sight and memory. Written by Paige Cromley. This article, too, opens up with a beautiful picture of magnificent skies, Milky Ways, arches. Must be at the Arches National Park. It's captioned, "A Meteor, the Milky Way, and the Delicate Arch in Grand County, Utah." The article begins. It was a 5-hour drive to the stars. That is, a 5-hour drive from the suburbs of New Jersey, where the bright glow of my college campus reached into the sky, to the middle of an undeveloped forest in northern Pennsylvania. Far away from city lights, Cherry Springs State Park is one of the best places in the eastern U.S. for stargazing. I was going with my friend Savannah Pobre, a fellow astrophysics student, in the hopes of glimpsing an untarnished night sky. It was not something I'd seen very often. I was born and raised in a well-populated suburb of Houston, Texas, a sprawling, illuminated city. I could easily count the number of stars I could see on any given night, probably a few dozen at most. That's normal for most Americans. Almost everyone in the U.S. lives beneath some degree of light-polluted skies, and a large majority cannot see the Milky Way. The center of our galaxy should appear as a river of stars stretching across the sky. According to a 2023 study published in Science, North American skies are brightening by 10% each year. If this trend continues, even the brightest constellations will disappear from view, such as Orion's Belt, a line of three star systems that form a prominent feature of fall and winter skies in the northern hemisphere. A child born under 250 stars today will only see 100 by the time they hit adulthood. Among young people like myself, such diminished views are already the norm. We're growing up under fewer stars than those seen by generations before us. The full tapestry of the night sky, twinkling planets and all, is something many Gen Zers have never known, often is something we don't think to miss. A week before my trip to Cherry Springs, I was standing outside with another friend on campus. The night was cold and cloudless. We were looking up. There were 30 or 40 stars above us, more than she could see at her home in Brooklyn. She had seen a shooting star once. "Absolutely crazy," she said. "I did not know they existed outside of movies." I looked at her in surprise. In Texas, I used to drive my parents' car to nearby fields to watch meteor showers. I made many teenage wishes upon those falling stars. "Well, that can't be true," I responded. Hadn't she heard of their wishing power, of that childhood starlight, starbright rhyme? She shrugged and laughed a bit, embarrassed by my shock. "I thought that was just made up," she said. Dark Sky International is a nonprofit dedicated to protecting dark skies via more responsible outdoor lighting, fixtures with warmer colors, lower wattage, and shields to point the glare downward. This helps protect views of the stars while maintaining street safety. It's also better for our circadian rhythms and for the myriad animals who rely on the nighttime environment. The organization's volunteer network includes teenagers like Elliot Smith, a senior in high school who lives just outside of Pittsburgh. He did not pay much attention to the stars until a few years ago when a family trip took him an hour away from the city. "There, he saw the stars for the first time properly," he said. "I wasn't able to get them out of my head for a while." The view affected him so much that last summer, through a teen mentorship program at Carnegie Science, he designed shields for outdoor light fixtures. One day, he hopes to turn his model into a reality. He started to attend dark sky meetings organized locally by volunteer chapters to gather feedback and ideas for the project. For most Gen Z dark sky advocates, it took an encounter with true nighttime to realize what they were missing. In addition to experiences like Smith's semi-local family vacation, some went to summer camp and others took a red-eye flight and looked out the window at a sea of stars. No matter what, it has always required some sort of travel, which is not financially or logistically accessible to everyone. Smith wants to get back that feeling he had on that family trip, but he has not gotten his driver's license yet. "I want to go to Cherry Springs State Park for my birthday," he told me. "Have you heard of it?" When Savannah and I drove to central Pennsylvania in search of the Milky Way, it was a moonless night. We parked the car and crunched our boots through the snow, walking into a field. Above us stretched the stars I came looking for, thousands of them. The galaxy glittered clearly. We fell silent beneath it. There were other people there, huddled in the biting wind, all looking up. A couple who came to celebrate a birthday, a father and daughter taking long exposure photos on an iPhone, a group of college students laying on the snow in sleeping bags. They came from New York and Philadelphia. So many people have begun traveling for proper views of the night sky that there's now a name for it, astrotourism. But for millennia, the stars were such a constant presence that people around the world used them to navigate, time their harvests, and tell stories to explain the universe around them. Ravis Henry is particularly troubled by light pollution's threat to indigenous heritage. A Navajo park ranger at Canyon de Shelly National Monument in the Colorado Plateau, Henry holds close to his heart traditional star stories passed down from elders. Our people around the canyon have always observed the night sky, he said. We watch and know what season is approaching, when to start certain ceremonies, and when to plant. Over the years, Radis has watched the surrounding area gradually become more developed. Not unilaterally a bad thing, he said. He remembers a time when many went without electricity or running water. But he does worry about the future. What's going to happen when they disappear? He asked. How are we going to tell our stories? How are we going to show our kids, our grandkids, what we're talking about? Growing up on the north shore of Oahu, native Hawaiian Giselle Bish learned constellations from her family in their backyard. In school, she learned the Hawaiian names for the stars. She also studied her people's voyaging traditions and how they used the night sky to guide themselves from island to island. Now a junior at suburban Princeton University, she can't see nearly as many stars. And back home on Oahu, the creep of urbanization means she can't remember a recent time when she had the same view of the night sky that inspired awe in her as a child. She wishes that were different. Being able to see the stars is a comforting thing, she said. It lets me know that I am home. As a park ranger, Henry has seen visitors from metropolitan areas get emotional when the sun sets, having never seen the Milky Way before. I would not want any of our kids here in our homelands to have to experience that, he said. I wouldn't want our kids to be gone for so long that when they come home, they shed tears seeing the Milky Way for the first time. He thinks they should see it all the time, just like their ancestors. In an effort to encourage protection of the night sky, Dark Sky International certifies locations around the world as dark sky places. Some are swaths of land with practically no sky glow, such as remote national parks and islands. Others are cities like Flagstaff, Arizona, a leader in outdoor lighting policy. Many of these sites emphasize the preservation of traditional knowledge in their mission. For example, the Ihai Kalahari Heritage Park in South Africa, ancestral home to the Komani San and Mier communities. So far, the list includes over 200 places in 22 countries, in total covering an area of land roughly the size of Florida. Dark Sky hopes to grow the list. That connection to the night sky, when you take that away, what's going to happen to us as Navajo people? Radis asked. What's going to happen to us as human beings? We're on a roll here with the dark skies. I've got one little article. We'll start anyways. It's called Darkness Visible. A new dark sky sanctuary in rural Oregon will help protect the sight of stars. Written by Jeremy Miller. For 4 years, Don Nielsen, a Portland, Oregon-based environmental consultant and amateur astronomer, was on a mission for darkness. Starting in 2018, she drove thousands of miles on washboard roads in the empty, sagebrush-stippled reaches of southeastern Oregon in the black of night. She and a team of volunteers counted every single street and porch light in a 4,000-square-mile area. Back in her office, she pored over maps and satellite images. Her efforts were all in service of a single goal: preserving one of the largest remaining parcels of dark skies in the lower 48. Once her research and fieldwork were complete, she drafted a 220-page application, and last January she submitted the final version to Dark Sky International, an advocacy group that works to protect the night sky in countries around the world. Her motivation was simple. I wanted to have the distinction of it being the biggest sanctuary in the world. Earlier this year, her hard work paid off. In March, Dark Sky International announced the creation of the Oregon Outback International Dark Sky Sanctuary, also known as ODIS, O-D-I-S-S. To call O-D-I-S-S ODIS big is an understatement. The sanctuary covers 2.5 million acres, an area roughly the size of the Big Island of Hawaii. The next phase, which Nielsen hopes will be formalized in the next few years, will encompass a much larger swath of land, some 11.4 million acres. That's the size of two New Jerseys, says Nielsen, or one Denmark. Nielsen said the new sanctuary will implement a lighting management plan, which works with landholders to replace fixtures that emit light into the air with ones that redirect illumination toward the ground. Dark skies equal habitat, Nielsen said. There is no living thing on this earth that evolved without a day and a night. Very abridged article takes us up to the end of our time today. Thank you so much for joining us for the October 29th reading of The Environment. My name is John.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.